medical description.
It wasn't. All right, Romans 2.
We're going to turn the page today?
I don't know what page you're on. So.
If we go into 9, I can turn the page.
Well, we're going to do that. Yesterday we spent a great deal of time about verse 7, who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, just again, it's so important. The idea of the word that's used, or the patient continuance, is a word that has a whole lot of meaning. It's the root idea of remaining under discipline, subjecting oneself to something which demands the acquiescence of what you would want to do, to something against. Oh. In other words, it demands discipline to be constant. There is never a ministering to self. There is never self-betterment in any guise can never be excused. So that, and it, this is critical. I mean, this is the essence of discipleship. If you want to be a disciple, then this is what you have to live with. If you don't want to be a disciple, that's your business. But we talked that well doing doesn't mean what we consider well doing. It means what God wants. And then verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, then it's indignation and wrath. Now the interesting thing here about it's indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish. That's not necessarily talking about the end, the judgment seat. It's talking about if you are not in a position of subjecting yourself, of giving up the right to yourself on a 24-hour-a-day basis, then the fruit of it will be that you will be an enemy of the Holy Spirit by moving towards self-righteousness or self-realization, and you will experience indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish. Now, as we've talked about so often, in the world, when you're in the world, and with many people in just living their life, then the time between the rebellion or the self-seeking and the anguish is 30 years, 50 years. But eventually it comes. But if you once you say to the Father, I am yours without condition, then you will find, and this is from long experience, you will find that the tribulation and anguish comes far quicker. And you will begin, and that's when you put God to the purposes, to the test for the purposes of approving Him. This is explaining that. Because you will be convinced that you've done everything, you've done your best, you've tried, you've come to Bible study every day for 30 years, and on and on. Anybody, or nothing, whatever, blah, 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 my prayers weren't answered, and the truth of the matter is, your prayers were answered.
Another aspect of that is you dump your own anger and wrath on somebody else, and you're experiencing that because it's happening in you.
Right, and you'll direct it outwardly.
You're not happy, you know.
Happy camper.
Should have taken the green pill.
And you go right. You go and take pills. You go and do all the little tricks to try to do anything other than experience discipleship.
Yeah.
And even you're not, and a, oh. This has got to hit some of you where you live, because you think you've been so sincere and you've tried so hard and nothing has happened. And it's so sad. And you've tried everything, you've tried to learn all these things, you've tried to do it right and nothing. Well, that's because you're putting God to the test for the purposes of approving Him. You're not a disciple. How many times have I heard that from Harry?
And the problem is, if you are hearing this in this room or anyplace else, it's already too late.
Oh, yeah.
You're already in God's hand, and He's not going to stop screwing with you. It won't let go.
Now, for those like for the Scots of this world who are up alone in Pennsylvania, we can talk about Scott since he's not here. No, he's here. At some point in this process, once you've said, "Father, I'm yours," at some point in that process, you've got to stop ministering to self. And it's not the fact of whether you should or shouldn't. Nobody cares whether you do or not. That's between you and God. But the promise is that you will experience, if you say, and that's what this whole thing was, remember? Because that when you knew God, you glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in your own imagination, and foolish heart was darkened. Because the only thing the Holy Spirit is doing is making disciples, revealing that His only job is to reveal that which is His. And everything that which is His will be at peace 24 hours a day, will be on the mercy seat. Everything is right. Everything is good. But boom, 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 boom. Oh, poor me. Sound familiar, Harry?
Lie down and sorrow.
Right. Because what happens? And this applies to the slightest thing. What happens? It's obviously the Buckner verse. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, and therefore you were not grieved. So therefore, you have to, okay, I got another, I'm going to get another solution, another thing.
But you just don't, it's so obvious and it's so subtle at the same time. You just don't believe that the problem is in here as opposed to out there.
The problem is always you. It's never not you.
It's so simple and so elusive.
Yeah. Walk in the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Am I reading it?
Simple. It's never going to change.
And it's even in the sparks that you have kindled because you think you're doing right and you're doing the work of God. That's probably especially true with that. Oh, I got so much to do, and I'm so heavy, and I've got so much weight. Huh?
Beware of sparks.
Does this touch anybody? I know it does, but are you willing to talk about it? No, I guess not.
Well, sure. Being a disciple is like being the seed that falls into the ground and dies, so it brings forth more fruit.
That's the only reason. There's no such thing. Well, they're just this. What people you're taught for years. Well, that's a. I'm a Christian, but I'm not ready to be a disciple. Then you're not a Christian. You're just putting on the name, thinking that finally there's something that will let me get my way. Now you use the name of Christ as some kind of entitlement.
Can I get stuff?
Yeah.
This is really the best possible information you can get, because you're finding out now what it is that's going on. It's like, Daddy, Daddy, every time I stick my finger in the light socket, I get electrocuted. How do I make it stop electrocuting me?
Talk to your mother.
And again, this isn't something that's unique to Christians. It's revealed in everyone because everyone comes to the end and dies. But the fact that it's time is speeded up, if you will, and you experience the anguish and the tribulation and everything beforehand, it is a blessing to you. It reveals the long-suffering of God. Right, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
For some reason, I was thinking of the movie The Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, I have never seen that.
It's where the guy has a flower shop. There's this flower that subsists on blood. And he would let the flower, you know, bite him occasionally. And the flower grew into this giant plant. And he had to kill people to continue to feed the plant. I was thinking that's the way our mind works with giving in to self-ministry.
Yeah, your mind is a little shop of horrors.
To bring the horns all over stuff to the table.
Yeah, if I excuse this, it's just me, it's just the way I am.
Well, it's in every, this mystery is revealed in everything. It's revealed in throughout the Old Testament in the law. It says the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. But if you're gonna eat anything that contains blood, you can't eat. There can't be any blood in it. So that's why there's elaborate kosher rules so that no blood. Because the law all points to the only blood that gives life and worth is the blood of Christ, and that's. So in Messiah is the blood, that's the only thing you're allowed to drink is the blood of Messiah. But what we do when we're living and using everybody and everything for our own self, and what does this mean to me and how can I get that, what you are doing is your life is in your own blood and the blood of the curse. And so it's inevitable that is... it's not that you're going to die, it's inevitable that you are surely dead. Remember? You're just a walking dead man because you're still going on and on trying to gain your worth from yourself. And it just goes on endlessly. And it's only God's mercy and that He hasn't...
The only thing we care about is the second.
That's why, I'm forgiven by the blood of Christ. Not if you continue to use it as an instrument of your self-realization. The only way you're forgiven by the blood of Christ is if Christ is your blood, is the life is in the blood. If you're still working for your own self-benefit, this is why those that say gain is godliness are so evil, because they're teaching people that the life is in their own blood because it's their own accomplishments and their own realization. Now, but they think it's in God's name, but He's going to say, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. You workers of Aven, you workers of self-seeking. I never knew you. Now, that should put the fear of God in some. There's no more heart-rending scripture in the Bible than when Jesus said that. Many shall come in my name saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Why? Because you're using his blood as an instrument of improving that which is cursed. That's... What?
Huh?
Before the
I was
going
along
with it. Oh, okay. Do you have anything to say?
No, I don't.
Bye. And obviously when it's talking about tribulation and anguish and whatever that other word was, indignation and wrath, that it's the judgment seat, if you will, it's lasted 2,000 years, hoping that everybody will come to repentance. But the end result is, boom, the human race died on the cross. Until you know that, boom, everything else is in a watch. Oh, and then you say things like, this is what I love. You say things, well, I look around me and I see all these other people prospering. That's the seduction of the prosperity gospel. The only ones that are prospering are, and they're not even prospering because inside their heads it's a snake pit, it's a den of iniquity and a den of fear. But outwardly it looks, oh, look, they got that big house, they got the airplane, they got that, look at that, and that's what I want. So I'm going to give Tilton $5,000. Then I'll get what he has. I'm not talking about anybody here in particular, but just sort of in general.
I just realized that thing we say about new car smell.
What?
New car smell. There's new $20 million jet smell, too. Even though you've got it, at some point,
what?
It's not enough. That won't do.
Okay, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first and also the Gentile. Why the Jew first? Because they had the most responsibility. Now, forget Jew first now. It was Jew first back then. Now there is no... Now God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at the face, the genetics. No matter what you hear on television... Well, let's look at it. In verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Now, again, every man that worketh good, the only worketh good that there is Jesus Christ. Well, I'm running around trying to find what the will of God is for my life. It's none of your friggin' business because he's already revealed it. The will of God for your life is Jesus Christ. Oh no, God has called me to do X. No, he hadn't. You gotta find out. It's gotta sink in some point in your time that Jesus Christ as your life is the highest that you can go. There's nothing else. And what he does with you after that is not your business. And for there's no respect of persons with God. You can't believe the sermons I've heard on this. Well, there's some people I wouldn't respect either. It's obvious. No, that's not what it means. Meaning is literally, what did I do with it? It's prosopolempsia, but that's not the way you pronounce it, obviously. But it means he does not receive the face. In other words, there is no outward expression, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond or free, neither black or white, young or old. There is no... He doesn't receive anyone's face, anyone's physicality, anyone's even... It's the whole being. It's everything that makes you you. There's no respecter of persons. Do you understand that? There's no causes. There's no... Anytime you put God's name on a cause... What happens? You've taken the name of the Lord in vain. Can you really see what it means to be a respecter of persons? That he's a respecter of no man's persons. It's so universal that it makes you. It's kind of freaky, because there is. It means of every age, of every time, of every race, of every generation, of everyone to come. Of no matter what there's done to it, physical improvement or better health, none of that has any meaning because he's not. He respects no man's person. You got a little teeny hint of that meaning?
Yeah, and for us it means in dealing with people. It's
It's exactly.
You don't respond to their response.
Amen. Amen.
And everybody's the same. The response.
And God is eminently, totally, completely fair. It doesn't. Each man. It's that man and God. It's not that man and another man.
This is what he's really talking about here, and this is where that's another passage or where I got the, I talk about this idea of the religion that's going on inside you. There's with all of the little things. Your thoughts are your prayers. What you give importance to is what you're worshiping. Every man tithes. You tithe to the thing, your chief God. That's not an option. It's just what you do. And most of it's tied. You tithe to yourself. And then you double and triple tithe and fourble and fibble. Therefore you get so much in debt, you can't do anything else because you're tithing to yourself. This is all about respecting no man's person. But what he's doing is he's not honoring any religion except Jesus Christ that goes on within you as a vessel, as the temple of the living God. Each one of you have an inherent religion that must be denied. It must be abandoned. That's why you give no thought for yourself, no thought for tomorrow, no thought for today. Because the thoughts are the practice and the rites of your religion. And I promise you, no, unless the inward religion matches the outward, you are without integrity. Right?
Your evil thoughts.
It's not
your thoughts which are evil.
Yeah, which is all of them.
Every one of them.
Now this is not they'll kill you for saying this. Because you're messing with somebody's self-image. Your self-image is a lie. Good or bad, doesn't matter. But it's if you can hear these words, and the word, and again, that's why when Jesus said that he's to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor doesn't just mean, that you don't have enough money at that moment of time. It means that you don't have the ability to bring anything to a close, to an end. You can't succeed at anything, whether it's handling your own life or doing your job. You're not successful at anything. It means you're without honor, without reputation. That's what the word poor means. And that's what the kingdom of God is made up of. The poor. Because and it's not optional. What you do otherwise is you're gaining life from the thing you're doing. Therefore, you're not eating the flesh, you're eating the garment. Is this clear?
Good soil.
But the world will call you the off scouring of all things, the garbage heap, the waste, because you don't esteem what they esteem, you don't fear what they fear, you don't want what they want. And that's why his people are a sign and a wonder, not because they do signs and wonders. All this other stuff is just religious horseshit. Huh? Huh?
Because they've seen behind the curtain.
And it's so obvious what somebody's religion is. You can talk to them for 2 seconds. Doesn't matter whether they, oh, I'm giving Jesus all the glory. Well, you wouldn't say it if you were. What?
Well, I mean, that's it. If you're walking around saying it, you ain't doing it.
Well, of course not. I mean, it's so obvious.
You're going to do the next thing. You'd already be through with it.
Well, I want just stop a minute. I have every right to do this. And in fact, if this crap continues, I might do it. Why don't I start Ole Anthony Evangelistic Association?
Yeah, that's good.
Now, doesn't that... can you imagine anything more ludicrous than that? Then why... We got Kenneth Copeland, huh?
Harry Gitzloff Evangelist.
Yeah, well, I could even accept that more than Ole Anthony.
I think we should call you Bishop.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right Reverend.
Right Reverend. Well, actually, the full word, Bishop Prick. Sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it.
Right.
I mean, I meant it, but I shouldn't have said it.
Oh,
okay.
So you see, this is see, watch. This is Harry version of repentance, right there.
Sorry,
he's laughing. He's so proud of himself. He's going to burst, and he says, "I'm sorry."
Well, it was funny, but I shouldn't have said it.
That's. I'm just giving you all the glory, God, from Harry. Oh, we should wear little uniforms.
I'm in favor of that.
Huh?
I'm in favor of
that. Oh, I know you are. No, we're not going to wear any. Waste. We're not going to wear any uniforms.
I was like in the Bible with Ole Anthony, like Dave Vernon McGee series.
The last time I went to church, the old Episcopal churchman.
The priest had dresses on.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. You nailed it. He said it was Visitor's Day, and he was explaining the very beginning of the service. You might be wondering why I'm in this dress. Well, it's because I'm acceptable to God. That's it. I'm out. That's got to go on.
Well, I mean, again, you got to see that stuff. Not as it's just childish. It doesn't. It's just you're not going to get mad at.
I wasn't mad. I was.
Well, yeah, I know. But my point is that you don't get. Well, that particular one, because...
Especially the red and purple shit they wear. I love that.
Cool, it's drafty.
And it's... Harry,
kinda...
All right, let's just get... Let's take it, big guy. Quick, Lee. Harry just went over the top. That was so gay. Bishop, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Bishop Rick Ole Anthony.
I knew it.